Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We've been doing a series called Our Great Helper. I jumped into it last week. How many of you are tired? You came here from work. You're just kind of worn out tonight. Anybody tired? All right. Let's pray for refreshing. There's a lot of tired people. Father, thank you. Thank you that your word and your spirit bring life. And thank you for refreshing. We thank you for those who made the effort that came. They're tired. But Father, I thank you that they can be rejuvenated on the inside. So Lord, we thank you for that. We expect good things from you tonight. We thank you for your spirit. Rivers of living water can refresh us. And Father, we appreciate that. Thank you for your words tonight. Thank you that for a revelation that you open our eyes, that we can see wondrous things out of your word, and we'll give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, you can say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's roll. Our great helper has been, our text has been the very first text we ever took as a church. This is the first text we have, first scripture we ever read, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion or the fellowship or the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. To recap last week real quickly, we're talking about having a growing awareness of the Holy Spirit, probably the most misunderstood person of the Godhead in the Bible. And there's just a lot of people just don't know a lot about him. Some people don't believe he exists. Some people think he just kind of passed away or faded off the scene. He is not. And so we want a growing awareness of his presence, of his purpose, and of his power. And this is something we'll be looking at as we look at through this series. The process to grow in awareness is you need to know scriptures about him. You need to know scriptures about what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? Not what your Aunt Edna said. What does the Bible say about it? And around here we've got a saying, don't get mad, get scripture. So you find scriptures about that. Believe the scriptures about him. And then act accordingly. Last week I shared when Joy had a procedure done, she was radioactive, and we could not come close to her. Doctor said, stay away, keep Matt away. And he was just a little baby at the time, and she had had a thyroid deal, and so she had to take radioactive iodine. And so she took that, and we avoided her for a couple of days. Even though she didn't look any different, she didn't sound different, she wasn't glowing, she wasn't green, the doctor said, avoid her. And so without feeling or seeing anything, we avoided her for a couple of days. And so the Holy Spirit can't see him, oftentimes cannot feel him. Sometimes you can sense his presence, but we act like he's here and we act like he's in us. And that is actually one of the keys here. So Holy Spirit has been sent into our hearts and lives in us. And because he lives in us, we should live differently. Paul wrote the church at Corinth. He said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I want to talk tonight about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit and his words. If anyone knew the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus. And so what he says about the Holy Spirit is really what we ought to pay attention to. And John is the one who gives us the best, the most discourse about the Holy Spirit from Jesus. John, the Gospel of John was written about 50 to 60 years after the other Gospels. And John covers areas that really the other Gospels don't go into. By the way, if you've never read your Bible, we've got that Bible 365 plan, which is a great plan. But if you just say, okay, I want to read the Bible, where do I start? I always start people in the Gospel of John. It's just a wonderful, all of them are good, but it's just a wonderful gospel. It tells a great story, and he gives such great information. So Jesus' last words to his disciples were important. Their entire purpose being together was to continue the work. John 20:21, Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. I've heard people say, you know what, I want to be in a small group, and we're going to have a small group, and we're going to just like hang out like Jesus hung out with his disciples. They were in a small group together, and they hung out. Listen, Jesus didn't just hang out with that group of guys. He prepared them because he knew they were going to be the front line of carrying the message to the world. And so his whole purpose of hanging out with those guys was not just so they could have a great time. its whole purpose was to get them ready. He said, the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And so he began to talk to them about what was going to happen as they were being sent. And he begins to talk about another helper. John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 18. Jesus speaking, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now, there's a lot in that, but let's talk first about where he says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper. That word another means another of the same kind, another of the same quality. If you left tonight and I left and, you know, was in a hurry, let's say you're driving, let's say you got a truck. I think most popular vehicle in America, what is it, Ford 150? Is that the most? Don't get me in the Chevy Ford thing, guys. Let's work with the Ford right now. If you're driving your Ford F-150 and I run a stoplight and hit you and total your vehicle, and you look at me, you're like, what's up, Pastor? What are you doing? And I look at you, I go, don't worry, I'll get you another vehicle. What are you expecting me to get you? Another truck. Another Ford F-150. Maybe a different color, but same thing. And I come into your house a couple days later and I toss you some keys. I say, well, here we go. And you step out and there's a moped. And you're like, what's up with that? I thought you said you were going to get me another vehicle. Well, I got you another vehicle. That's not another of the same kind. That's a ripoff. You're going to lay hands on me suddenly and pray for me. When Jesus said, I'm going to give you another helper, he said, another of the same kind like me. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus on the earth. We didn't get downgraded. Couldn't have been, because later on in John, the 16th chapter, verse 7, Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. He said, because if I don't go away, the Father won't send the Holy Spirit. So it's obviously not a downgrade. It's obviously the same. In fact, he said it's an advantage, because Jesus, when he was on the earth, was limited to one place. But the Holy Spirit will live in us forever, which means he's with us. Amen. Which means we have help. Amen. Which means we have quality help. Amen. Which means we have help just like Jesus. Amen. As I was thinking about that, this has bothered me. If we've got so much help, why do we struggle so much? And I was asking the Lord that. I said, I'm praying about today, and it bothered me. If we have so much help, why are so many people struggling? If we've got the helper, the great helper. Now, here's a baseline place to start. If there's a problem, it's not God's fault. Amen. You want to start there. If you believe that your problems are his fault, it's going to be very difficult for you to get answers. Yep. Hard to get answers. He's our answer, Not our problem. Amen. He's our solution. He is not the issue. If you have issues, they're not his fault. Are you here? You got to get this, guys. You got to get this settled in your hearts and in your minds. If I have a problem, it is not God's fault. That's right. But if you're unwilling to admit that, you're in trouble. When we made a mistake and went to North Carolina, tried to start a church in my hometown, and when I finally realized we just missed it, I was amazed at all the people who would not let me take responsibility for that. Everyone wanted to spiritualize it. Oh, no, brother. God knew that if you came here, that this situation would happen and that situation. And I'm like, that's convoluted. How about this? How about it wasn't his fault? I missed it. Shouldn't have come. If you want answers, you got to take responsibility. We're getting started, but I'm I hadn't done yet here. But listen, If we've got such great help, why do we have so much struggle? Why are so many believers struggling? Why do we struggle as much as we do? And I'll say we, because it's a we thing. So here's what came to my heart. One, we need to acknowledge our need for help. I said it Sunday. I probably will talk about it again. The keynote of pride is, I got this. I got this. And there's a tendency in us to live our life and to go our way. And we're almost telling the Lord, I got this until all hell busts loose. And then I don't got it and I need help. So if you just imagine we get up in the morning, you're on the track. I got it, Lord. Don't worry about it. I got it. I got it. And I'm going to stay on that course until something happens that I need to veer off and go, oh, I need help. So in other words, we're on this track and the Lord, have you ever done this? Have you ever talked to someone and you got experience in what they're dealing with and you have said this, if they would listen to me, I could help them. You ever said that? If you've never said that, you're not a parent. Because parents have, Michael looked at me one time and started, he was telling me all about women. He was like 18. I looked at him and in all kinds of Christian love, I said, you're an idiot. You cannot tell me anything about women. You know nothing about women. I've been married to your mother a long time and I still know nothing about women, but you know nothing about women. And we used to talk about dating and I'm like, if you'd listen to me, I could help you. What if, instead of getting up and just taking off and just kind of like, hey, Lord, yeah, I got this. What if we got up and said, Lord, today I need your help. I need your help on my job. I need your help being a good spouse. I need your help as a parent. I need your help as a grandparent. I need your help in everything. What if we don't acknowledge, Lord, I need your help? Now, I'm going to give you scripture for this. If you think I'm on a rant, I'm not on just a boomer rant. This is going to work. We need to acknowledge his help, that we need his help. We need to believe he can help us.
Yes, amen.
You got to believe he can help. I think sometimes we act like the Lord has no idea about what's going on. It's like we're trying to tell him something, like we're telling him what to do. Lord, you need to do that. I believe you can help us, and then I need to act on it. I need to act accordingly. I need to pursue his help. So where are you getting this? I'm getting this from the people in the Bible that got help from Jesus. Because remember Jesus said, I'm going to send you another helper? Who is like me? Well, if he's just like Jesus, he's going to respond just like Jesus. Who got help in the Bible? Well, if you read your Project 365 today, Bible 365, I know all of you did because all of us read our chapter. It's a faith statement, but it's a good one. We read today about Luke 18th chapter. I'm going to read it to you. Then it happened, as he, Jesus, was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. They said, Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. He cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, this is Jesus asking him, what do you want me to do for you? You're like, Jesus, why are you even asking that? But you notice he did that a lot of times. He asked one guy, he said, do you want to get well? He asked questions. And so the guy had a good answer. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. He was a beggar. He was accustomed to asking for help. He was accustomed to realizing he needed. If you're a beggar and you're blind, this guy sat by the road every day and people would come and he would say, alms please, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. He was accustomed to asking help. He knew he needed help. You know what our challenge is a lot of times? We don't think we need help. We don't think we need it. We're kind of telling the Lord, I got this. I got it. No, I got it. But he knew he needed help. So he's accustomed to begging. Please, alms, please. Alms. And he hears the crowd. He said, what's going on? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he's like, great. He'd heard of Jesus. So he stands up and starts yelling, Jesus! Jesus! I mean, he obviously was irritating because people told him, shut up. Shut up, blind man, be quiet. And the Bible said when people told him to be quiet, he yelled all the more, Jesus! Yes. And Jesus had mercy. What did he do? He knew he had a need. He believed Jesus could help him with the need. And he pursued him. He went after Jesus. How many times do you see people coming to Jesus and getting help? Coming to him, pursuing him all the time. Why do so many of us struggle? Because we just kind of go along. We live our lives. Whoa, now we got a problem. We're like, Jesus. And a lot of times, guys, we don't even ask for help. We don't even ask. We're like, well, the Lord knows. No. We need to say, Lord, I need your help. Amen. But this would help us so much. Instead of waiting to all hell bust loose, why don't we wake up in the morning and go, I need your help today. I need your help driving to work. Lord knows you drive in Houston, you need some help driving to work. I've seen some of you drive. Y'all need a lot of help driving to work. Y'all up in my left lane all the time going slow. You need some help driving to work. Why don't we start that way? Because a lot of times we don't recognize the need. Who gets the help is the people who acknowledge, I need help. And then people who acknowledge, I believe he can help me. Now, this is where the song that Justin talked about, How Great Is Your Love, which I mistook for How Deep Is Your Love, which is a Bee Gees song. Different song. How Great Is Your Love is God's love for us personally. You got to believe he loves you enough to help you. Amen. Not that he'll help me. Not that he'll help Joy. He'll help you. That God loves you enough to help you. Guys, if you want to make it powerful, make it personal. God, you'll help me. And then I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with you. And I'm going to stay there until I get an answer. This blind man kept yelling until Jesus stopped and said, bring the guy over here. Jesus stopped for him, but he pursued Jesus. There's a principle here. We have the greatest help available on the planet. The one who lives in us, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is a helper. He's a comforter. He's a strengthener. He will help us. But if we don't want his help, or we don't even acknowledge that he's there, we don't get help. You ever notice the Lord will not intervene in your life? You say, well, he came into my life. Listen, he did not make you get saved. You had to do that. Are y'all here? Yes. This makes sense. Yes. You say, why are you going through this? Because too many people struggle. We struggle too much when we've got help. This guy received his sight and followed Jesus. Okay. Another helper. Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. Oh, no. Let me go into this. Jesus said, he will be with you forever. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you and then not leave you and then come back and not leave. He's not like a bad girlfriend. He's there. He does not leave. He's our helper. I haven't told this story in a while, but it's a good story. And I think it pertains here. When we started, tried to start the church in my hometown, didn't work. We shut it down, and I went to work for my dad. My dad had a business where they put up draperies and cornices and blinds. In my part of North Carolina, it was still kind of formal, still very, especially in the 80s, and it was still very... you know, a lot of cornices and many blinds too. So we put that up. My dad was merciful to hire me because I'm not good with my hands. I really am not. Say, Alan, that's a bad confession. No, it's not a bad confession. I'm just not good with my hands, and I'm not looking to get better. But so, because if I get better, I'll be doing stuff around the house that I don't want to do. And stuff takes me three times as long as it takes anybody else. And so I'm working for my dad. I'm putting up cornices. And he sent me to a upscale nursing home. They had these beautiful long cornice boards that went in a corner, and I'm trying to get the, y'all know what those are, cornices, right? Go up, are they above? It was a window treatment that went above a window, and a lot of times we had to get them just right, and they fit in the corner, and I could not get it done, and I was so frustrated. I didn't like the job anyway, and I wasn't good at it, and I'm upset, and I'm like, Tom, and I couldn't get it done, and I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to talk to my dad, and I'm going to get the look. You know what the look is? Your parents ever give you the look like, ugh. Give it that I'm really disappointed in you look. And so I went back, and I just felt so bad. And I sat down in my dad's office. I said, Dad, I could not get those things up. I am sorry. And I didn't get the look. He reached over and he grabbed his book and he said, tomorrow I'll send Lee with you. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Lee was his top guy. Lee was as good with his hands as I'm bad with my hands. Lee's one of these guys that can look at it and fix anything. Some of you guys are like that. It's a gift of God. Thank him. He was gifted with his hands. And so he said, I didn't get the look. He said, I'll send Lee tomorrow. So I got in the car in the truck, and I was driving his truck, and I'm driving back to the little apartment we lived in, and I was happy. I'm like, oh, thank God. Tomorrow, I have help. Help's coming, because Lee can fix anything. Woke up in the morning, and I thought about going back to that, and my first thought was, oh, and then I thought, no. Lee's coming. Lee is coming. I'm driving to work. I'm whistling as I drive to work. I am happy because I'm not depending on myself. I know I got help coming. I know when he comes, we're going to get the job done. I know when he is there, it's going to be taken care of. When Lee is coming, I am happy. And sure enough, he shows up. Now, how did I know Lee was coming? Because my dad gave me his word that he would. And so based on my father's word, I was happy before Lee showed up. I knew he was coming. And when he came and we got it done and the whole thing was finished, I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lee, for coming. Here's my point. Your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus has told you you've got a helper. He's not only a helper, he is the helper. He's the best help you will ever have. And before you see it, before you throw up your hands, you ought to go, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, I've got help. I've got help with my kids. I've got help with my family. I've got help with my in-laws. I've got help. I've got help. I've got help. And if we believe we've got help, then we don't act like Jesus said when he said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's don't act like orphans. You know, an orphan in Jesus' day was probably one of the most disadvantaged people you could ever find. Because unless family took them in, they were on their own. There was no government housing. There was no government anything. If you were an orphan then, you were an orphan. And you had nobody. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm sending you some help. And so we can go, oh, thank you, Lord. We're not disadvantaged. We're not in the dark. We've got help. And believing that gives us a different mindset. Tomorrow when you get up in the morning, you're going to work, smile and go, I got help. I got help. When you walk in and look at your family, go, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I have help. I have help. I have help. I have help. But I'm not joking. We do have help. And but we're going to have to believe it. Everything in the scriptures works this way. We take a step of believing to come to a place of knowing. Yep. That's how it works. We took that step of faith and believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we confessed him as our Lord. That was a step of faith. It was already done. But when we stepped into it is when it became a reality in our life. So when we step into the fact that we have help and the Holy Spirit will help us, it can become more of a reality in our life than it ever has been. God is not holding back on you. Amen. We have to make the adjustment. Because one thing I found out about the Lord is He will not adjust to us. We adjust to Him. And if we're not on the right path, all we have to do is go, Lord, You said in Your word that You would show me the path of life. Let me get on the right path. And it starts by acknowledging, I need You. I need Your help in my life. So I know a lot of people who are doing great, really. And I know a lot of people who are cratering and going under and doing horrible. And for God's people, that ought not to be. We have help. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heavenly Father, I pray right now for all the people who are here, people who are listening to me online and who will watch this. I pray for those who are struggling right now and believing they don't have help. And Lord, I thank You. I thank You for revelation. I thank You for light. I thank You for understanding. I thank You for a ray of hope that they can realize, Lord, that there is help available in You. Father, help us to acknowledge. Help us to get on the path where we receive help all the time, where we are like what they said about those kings of old, marvelously helped. We are amazingly helped. Let us be that kind of people, that we look to You, we believe You, and we pursue You. Thank You for Your help. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, you know, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I don't know if I've ever asked the Lord to be the Savior of my life, or I'm not sure. I'd like to be sure. Or maybe you're like I was, and you just got away from God. You know it. He knows it. And you'd rather come back. You're like, this way's not working. I want to come His way. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But if that's you and you would like in on this prayer, I just need you to do this. One thing, just acknowledge it. Say, that's me. Alan, would you pray for me? Real quick, slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, got you. Got you. Anybody else? Great. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand and you really want to end on this prayer, it's a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Online, if you're watching online, you're by yourself, pray this prayer out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.